Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
There ought to be an award given to people who stay to the end. And thank you. Thank you again for being here. I thank God that you're here. I thank God that you have made a decision to give up your Friday evening, your Saturday, because you want the church to succeed. You want to save souls. And when Nicole and I were going to school, because I was a student, she took some classes with me at Southwest, and we'd just gotten married, and I said, Nicole, I want our ministry to focus on evangelism. And she said, well, what can I do? I said, I need you to learn how to entertain. She grew up in a single parent home. She had never seen her mother entertain, scared her to death. And she says, I've never done this before, but I'll try. I said, let's start by having Gary and Maggie Colley to the house. She said, you mean Miss Maggie? She said, Rob, she's a really good cook. I said, I know. I said, let's just have them to the house, the apartment. She said, okay. So we had Mr. Gary, Miss Maggie come to the apartment, and it could not have gone better. It didn't matter how that food tasted; it was the best meal they'd ever had. And we sat and talked and visited, and then Brother Gary looked at me and said, "Rob," he said, "do you know how to play Texas 42?" I said, "No." He said, "Well, we brought some dominoes. Let's learn how to play." So we set up the dominoes, and we learned how to play Texas 42. And then we went, after that experience, we went to another instructor, and we started learning how to entertain. Gentlemen, I want to say something to those of you who are married. The best asset you have in evangelism is your wife. You need to lift her up. She is the best cook in this county, and it doesn't matter how good her food is. She is the best. You need to lift her up. You need to make sure she realizes that you have her back. If that means you need to run a vacuum cleaner, plug it in and run it. If that means you need to dust. If that means you need to spray Lysol. If that means you got to go out and buy a new table. You got to put a fresh coat of paint on. You do whatever it takes, because without her, you won't succeed. She is your best asset. She's your helpmate. It's hard to succeed without our wives. They're indispensable. Right now, my wife is going to do everything she can. My wife's a very soft-spoken woman. It scares her to death to speak. The only reason she does it is because she knows if those ladies don't step up to the plate, this all falls flat. They're indispensable to the church. Winston Churchill is known as one of the greatest leaders in world history. He gave what's also known as one of the most powerful speeches the world has ever heard. He knew that if he failed in his speech effort, that it could be the very last speech that Great Britain was going to hear. Nazi Germany was pillaging Europe. The European theater was a mess. They were driving through France like no one had ever seen. They called it the Blitz. It's a new military tactic. No one's ever seen it before. Hitler would take his tanks and his armies, and he would line them up, and he would just one town after another, no stopping, one town after another. The French military, completely unprepared for this. Not a traditional war, not a traditional battle. They didn't know what to do. They kept backing up and backing up. Neville Chamberlain was an appeaser. He thought he could make treaties with Hitler. It didn't work well. He broke one treaty after another. Chamberlain kept telling the country, you know, we can come to a terms of truce with Hitler. Winston Churchill knew there was no truce. This is a Nazi dictator. He's going to keep doing this until someone stops him. And then he gets his turn in Parliament. It's their system of government. The chamber assembles, and Winston Churchill begins his speech. It's one of the most famous lines in his speech. He said, "He who fails to plan is planning to fail. My fellow countrymen, we have no plan, and we're going to lose the war." He became prime minister, and it turned the tide of the war. Brethren, we are losing this war. I want you to be very clear tonight. We're losing. The Church of Christ is disintegrating. We are watching churches close their doors where we see the projections. I'm going to give them to you tomorrow. More and more churches have shut down. More, I just know of one in my area that has shut their doors for the last time. We must address this issue. We need a plan. We need a congregational plan to address it. And we just can't train 5 or 6 quote-unquote gunslingers in a church and say, go out there and evangelize. That's not going to work. That's not how the church was created. That's not 1 Corinthians 12. There's a beauty in 1 Corinthians 12. It's a beautiful text. Because Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12, what Paul is teaching the church is that, listen, we've got everything we need to fulfill the mission. The church has everything she needs to succeed. We don't want everyone to be a Rob Whitaker. We don't want everybody to be Glenn Colley. We don't want everybody to be a Brother Luis. We don't need everyone to be Steve Carroll. But we need you. Some are ears, some are eyes, some are noses, some are feet. Some of you are unseemly. But if your unseemly parts weren't working right now, you would know. They're very important. Every part is important. They don't all have the same function, but they have the same mission. You know what their mission is? Keep you alive. We have one mission in the Church of Christ. There's one thing Jesus told us to do. Go ye therefore and teach and baptize and teach. It's called the Great Commission because it's the Great Commission. It's restated in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Mark 16, 15 and 16, Luke 24, 44 through 49, John 20, 21 through 20. It's restated in every gospel account. It's Acts 1, verse 8. It's repeated in the epistles. It is the standing orders of our commander-in-chief. It's the one thing we're supposed to be doing. And if we fail to do it, we won't make it. It is the answer to every church growth formula. I get the privilege of meeting with elders all year long, brethren. I go to churches, I walk in, and I get to see the things that they're trying to do to grow. Oh, my heart sinks. I weep for my brethren. I look at what they're doing to grow, and I'm thinking, this is nowhere in the New Testament. They're so desperate. They're willing to adopt almost anything to get people to come. The one thing we have, the one thing we have right here is a New Testament model for growth. Contacts, prospects, Bible studies, baptisms, new converts, growing church. It's a model. Every engineer out here understands the importance of a model. You also understand the importance of process. Trust the process. Follow it. Take what works and do it. Don't reinvent the wheel. We don't have to borrow ideas from every denominational group and community church outfit. We need to borrow the ideas from this book. Because this is the answer. Is what I want to challenge us. And what I want to do here is give you a 10,000 foot view of a congregational plan. So I'm not going to give you the details. I'm going to give that to your elders. I'm not going to give you the processes. I'm going to give it to the elders and only the elders. There's a reason for that. They're the shepherds of the church. I'm not. It's up to them. It's up to your preachers. But I do want to give you an overview. I want to show you what it looks like. So in your Evangelism Simplified Guidebook, and I can't remember what page, it's towards the back, there is a 10-point congregational plan. And it's a simple plan. It's very easy. And it uses common sense. Common sense. We're going to go to Scripture. We're going to learn a few things. Brethren, Paul says, Timothy, bring my parchments. Bring my writing utensils. I need some material, Timothy. Can you bring it? Bring my cloak, too. There are some things that I need in order to succeed, Timothy. Can you bring them? Let me be very clear about churches. Brethren, there are some things we need in our churches if we're going to succeed. Okay, as much as we need Bibles in Jamaica and Scotland and in Tanzania, we need Bibles here. We need Bibles. It's amazing how many people don't have Bibles. I would never have believed when I was growing up we would actually have to give out Bibles. Because there are so many people around us that have not one Bible, not one. So as much as we need to give Bibles out all over the world, let's give them out around our church. Just make sure we have Bibles. And there are good Bibles out there, inexpensive Bibles that we can use. We need to have evangelism material. You will not a carpenter will not be successful building his barn without his hammer. He will not be successful what has his tape measure, his level, and all the other things that he needs. And so a fisherman needs his equipment. We need equipment. We have got to equip. We've got to make sure we have all the things necessary. This is not the time to wait for Gospel Advocate. This is a time for us to equip our churches and make sure our members have the tools they need. This is not just tools for the preacher. If you equip the preacher, he will evangelize, but he will not be able to evangelize enough. We must equip the membership. We must make sure they have these tools at their disposal. Everyone is ready. Your soldiers in an army. Everyone gets boots. Everyone gets socks. Everyone gets uniform. Everyone gets, you know, the helmet. We all get our belt. We all have the kit we need. We get what we need to fight and win war. We are in a war. And we must equip our people. There was a time where just about every member of the Church of Christ had Jewel Miller sitting at home. They had the projector. They had the film strip canisters. They were ready to go. I mean, we need something out there. And so my first advice to a church is equip your people. Get them what they need. If you're going to make contacts, there are tools that we use to create contacts. I mean, there's really effective tools that we can give everyone in an auditorium and we can say, go out and use it. And you're going to get something. And so we've got to have materials to help bring people, materials to help teach people, materials to help keep people. We need to have materials to reach out into our communities. And so first things first, let's equip the saints. Every Church of Christ I attend has everything they need for coffee. They have the coffee filter, the coffee pot, the coffee stirrers, the coffee cup, the coffee grinds, the coffee creamer. Brethren, we will not run out of coffee, I guarantee it. We're prepared. And just about every Church of Christ I visit has everything we need for a teacher's workroom. We could open a school up. We've got, cardboard and Astro-Bright paper and pencils and pens and map pencils and color crayons and markers and scissors. And don't forget the safety scissors. We don't want you to hurt yourselves, but we have everything we need. And I have a sneaky suspicion if the refrigerator went out tomorrow, there wouldn't be a crisis budget meeting. You just replace it. Number one, equip your people. Number two, put it out there where they can get it. Don't hide it. Don't sit it in the library. Don't put it in the preacher's office. Don't stick it in some room and lock the door. Put it out there where people can get it. Every door, every opportunity, you place a little tape and say, here are the tools. Here they are. Get them. Take them. We want you to take them. I want to tell you some true stories that have happened in our school. I walked into a church and brethren, I had just trained this church 1 year ago. They bought everything they needed to succeed. I knew they had boxes full of everything they need. I walk into their foyer and I look around and there isn't one evangelism tool to be found. They brought me back because they were struggling. They said, we need help. I said, well, I tell you what, I got one Sunday. I said, I'll give it to you. I'll just stop by. So, and this is very odd because my family wasn't even with me. And that happens like once a year. So I went by myself. I go to this church and I walk in and I'm looking. I'm like, and a teenager comes up to me. Hey, Mr. Rob, good to see you again. I said, great, great to see you. Oh, Mr. Rob, man, I loved what you did last year. I said, thank you. Mr. Rob, I've got a friend I want to study with. I said, great. He said, Mr. Rob, you know those little booklets you have in your coat pocket? I said, yes, back to the Bible. Mr. Rob, could you give me a set? I said, why? He said, well, I need one. I said, where are they? He said, I don't know. Can I have that set in your pocket? Because I want to teach my friend. I sat with the elders that afternoon and I told them that story. I said, where are the materials, brethren? Where are they? I said, you got people wanting to do Bible studies. Where are they? And they said, oh, well, they're in the closet. We haven't got around to it yet. Brethren, I would suggest you take your equipment, put it out in the foyer. I had one preacher. I'm just going to call him David. I'm not going to give you his last name. He called me afterwards. He said, hey, Rob, that was great. He said, we've got the evangelism table set up. We got the equipment out where that we're going to start training the church immediately. And he said, Rob, I do have one problem. I said, what is it? Well, the table we put in our foyer, it's gone. I said, what do you mean, David? He said, it's all gone. I said, David, that's wonderful. I said, the brethren are hungry. They're taking. He said, oh, Rob, you're so, no, Rob. He said, Rob, it's gone. I said, well, David, he said, Rob, now listen. He said, I called one of the elders, one of the leaders. I said, brother, I said, we put out our stuff. We got everything ready to go. He said, where's the evangelism material? Oh, you mean that gaudy table? He said, one of the ladies saw it. She complained. She said, now you know that does not match the decor. When we built this $3 million facility, we agreed that only certain things go in the foyer, must be approved by the elders. It must match the decor. That thing is ugly. We got rid of it. David said, where'd the evangelism table? The materials, where are they? Oh, we put them in the coat closet. The coat closet. Rob, it was very hard to control myself. He said, but I said, okay. He said, I got up in the pulpit. I know that my second lesson is supposed to be on materials, so I started preaching. I said, brethren, here is back to the Bible. Here's does it matter. Here's what it does. And I started going through it. And then at the end of the sermon, I said, now it's all in the coat closet. Go get it. I even went back to the coat closet, opened the door, stood by the door, and I waited for the brethren to go get it. Guess how many people went to get it? Just take a wild guess. Steve? Zero. Brethren, if we cannot put evangelism materials in our foyers because it doesn't match the decor, I have a suggestion. Sell the building and go home. This is not a country club. This isn't home interior. This is the Church of Christ. Number one, get the material. Number two, put it out there where people can get it. They're not, let me tell you what, they're not going to evangelize if they got to hunt through your building. They're not, and they're only going to do it when you equip them, when you put it out there where they can get it, and you train them. Here's an evangelism table. This is what, we can make these tables look really nice. We can put your symbol on there. We can put it out there. There's our six-step model right over the table. All the materials are right there waiting for members to pick them up. I found something interesting at Willette. When we equipped the Willette Church of Christ to do Bible studies, guess what they did? This is another wild guess. They did Bible studies. They were baptizing more than I was because we equipped them and we trained them. We showed the membership how to do it. Members will do things that you don't think they can do. I remember Cliff Goodwin. Cliff said, hey, Rob, can you come up to Ironton? I said, sure. He says, let's enroll in the school. I said, Cliff, I feel awkward about this. Cliff is one of my, he's just, I said, okay for a preacher to have a hero. He's one of mine. I know we're real close in age, but he's one of my heroes. And so I felt really awkward, and I went through it, and it was really interesting. After we left, and things went extremely well. It was, I don't know, a couple months. Cliff calls me. I said, Cliff, how are things going? He said, man, Rob, great. He said, man, we've had more baptisms. I said, it's great. I said, Cliff, I knew you could do it. He said, well, I'm not the one. He said, Rob, we have some widow ladies in the church, and my daughter, Kinley. And he said, it's amazing what they're doing. He said, I never thought those widow ladies would do what they did. You know, you might have right now in your pews members who can conduct Bible studies. They're willing to go to their neighbor's house. They're willing to engage friends. And you don't even know it. I'm not suggesting every person has to conduct a personal. I'm not suggesting that. But I am suggesting if you train a church how to do it, they actually might do it. Equip them. Give them the training and show them how it works. Say, here's the tool. Let's go through it together, church. I was sitting at an elders meeting, and I'm not going to tell you the church name, but I'm sitting there and I'm saying, okay, one of the things that we need to do, this is step number three, and we're going through progressions, and kind of like a pilot's checklist. I go through my progressions, I check my list. I said, okay, here's your next step. You got to pass it out and you got to preach through it. And I looked at the preacher. I said, brother, I need you to preach through back to the Bible. Can you do that? He said, not a word. After he left the meeting, the elders looked at me and they said, Rob, we have a problem. I said, well, what's going on? They said, Rob, he won't preach it. I said, what do you mean he won't preach it? We've talked to him about this. We want him to go through and teach back. We just preach it. And he refuses to do it. Now, I'm looking at men. Let me tell you what these men are. These aren't just any elders. I work with lots of elders, farmers, and I love my farming elders. I work with, you know, white-collar, blue-collar. These are all white-collar men. Three of these men own multi-million dollar companies. And they're asking me, they said, Rob, what do we do with the preacher? I was foolish enough to answer that question once. But I won't answer. I just looked at him and said, if you had an employee at your $3 million company who refused to do what you asked him to do, what would you do? Maybe he won't do it because he doesn't believe it. Glenn, when I started doing this, I said, well, you know, this is just a basic, back to the Bible. I mean, it's as basic as you can get. We're talking about the authority of Christ, the church of Christ, the salvation of Christ. Every preacher out there ought to be able to preach this stuff. Brethren, I've experienced more times than I would like to count how many preachers out there will not preach it because they don't believe it. I know that's not the case here, but I want you to understand what we're facing right now in our churches. One of the reasons we're not evangelizing is because we don't believe people are lost. Why in the world would you evangelize if you don't think they're lost? We must train our people how to do this. That means leadership in a church. We have to get into, and if that means you're doing a Bible class, doing it in a sermon format, doing it in a sermon format. But we some way we've got to train. Let's go to number four. We've got to promote an evangelistic atmosphere in our churches. We've got to make sure in our churches evangelism becomes a focal point. All right, so in everything that you do, lads to leaders, evangelism. I can't think of as you're learning how to do these various things and lads to leaders, it's all about saving souls. You're becoming more equipped and better able to. It's not just about us on the inside, and I think we need some of that, but it's about how do I help others? So whatever it is you're doing, let me give you some examples. I was at the Carnes Church of Christ. I love to use this example. Steve Higginbotham, brother, good man. Love that church. And one of the elders called me, and Brother Terry, he said, hey, Rob, he says, I know you're coming. We're excited. He says, we've got a backpack drive on that one Saturday, you know, and we're real excited about this, and this is a couple months out, and I know you got some training. Can you help our deacon? I said, sure, no problem. And I said, Brother Spencer, I've got it. And so I called the deacon. We're talking. I said, hey, he said, man, Rob, we're collecting supplies. I said, sounds great. And we've got a strategy. He said, but I'm supposed to talk to you about the strategy. I said, okay. I said, when do you want to do it? He said, what about when you arrive? And I said, well, so sounds good. We're going to have about a week and a half. So I said, sounds good. So I get to the church. I sit down with the deacon. First, he takes me to the room. We show all the crayons. They had more school supplies than Walmart. I mean, we're completely equipped. I said, what's the plan? He said, well, we're going to line up some cones. We're going to run the cars through the parking lot. We think we can hand out 400 backpacks in one morning. I said, great. He said, well, the elder said you might have a strategy that may be a little different. I said, well, I said, brother, first, I commend you. And I always want to, I love my brethren. I said, but would you consider doing this? Put the backpacks in the classrooms in your church building. He said, in the classrooms? I said, yes. I said, require people to walk in your church building. I said, you have a beautiful building. And I said, have your members standing by to give an open house. We're going to do an open house of the Carnes Church of Christ. I want you to take them through the church, show them the auditorium, the Bible classes. Have the Bible class teachers in the classrooms. They're going to distribute the backpacks. Introduce that student to the teacher where they will attend, because we are going to get them to attend. And I want you to have Bible studies prepared. Brother Higginbotham, be prepared. You will have a study. He did. And I want you to have the fellowship meal. I want you to equip it with food. And we're going to eat with people. And we're going to take one family at a time. And I said, it's going to take a while. You're going to tour them through the church building, take them to the class, introduce them to the preacher, go to the information table, go to the fellowship hall, have a meal, then walk them to the car. Brother Rob, we can't pass out 400 backpacks if we do that. I know. But you'll have Bible studies. I'm all for backpack drives if they're done right. But I am not for just throwing backpacks into the back of the truck. We are not the Lions Club. This is not the Rotary Club. Listen, the Lions Club can do all the backpack drives they want. We are not the Lions. We are the Church of Christ. We're an army of soul winners. We need to think about, as we do these activities, what can we do? The number one thing you can do, here's the number one thing you can do to promote evangelism and benevolence. You ready? One thing you can do, get them in the church building. Make them come inside. It's kind of like bringing them to my house. Once you're in my territory, I've got you right where I need you. I'm not going to do it outside. I'm not going to do it. You're going to come here. You're going to meet the love. I want you to feel the love of this church. I want you to hear the singing and the beautiful melody of the worship. I want you to meet the preacher. I want you to see our Bible classes. I want you to see what Christianity looks like. And so everything we do is about what? Evangelism. But this is typical in our churches. What do? We have our blessing boxes. We have no idea who these people are. Rob, we got the blessing box. I'm not opposed to blessing boxes. Please, it's not unscriptural to have a blessing box. But I'm just suggesting that, how are we going to get Bible studies from the blessing box? I mean, maybe you get some. I don't know. The turkey giveaways, the teacher supplies, the winter coat drive, the benevolent buildings, the backpack drives. I'm all for all of these things. But let's connect it. Let's make it an evangelistic work. I know Brother Mark Weaver's in our audience, and he works with helping churches through disasters, but not what you might think. What he does is he shows up and says, listen, you have an unbelievable evangelism opportunity right now. Do you know we actually have works in our brotherhood that say, listen, we're here to help you with benevolence, but don't try to convert them. Unbelievable. I know when we had the tornadoes, Brother Glenn, I know when we had the tornadoes, you remember then they went through Willette? I mean, it was terrible. I mean, I think 9 people died. President Bush actually, you know, came in his chopper and landed, went through Lafayette. It was terrible. And I remember Hugh Wayne and I were talking. I said, Brother Hugh Wayne, I said, we have an incredible opportunity to evangelize right now. And I said, let's pick out a family. So we picked out the Roark family. They lost everything. When Nick pushed the mattress off the tub, his house was gone and his family's inside the tub. Nick had no shoes on. He had to walk on the glass. He said, I'll always have shoes on now. He went and I went over to that house. We said, what do you need? And they said, we need everything. They said, well, the Willette Church of Christ will adopt you. I said, we're here for you. Nick didn't come to church. Neither did his wife, Paula. Oh, they have 4 children. And we just started helping them. Steve went out there with his chainsaw and cleared off things. And we get a place for them to stay. And then I'm sitting there talking, Nick, what do you think about the... Remember my 3 questions? Y'all remember what they are? I always ask the same 3 questions. I'm very robotic. Nick, what do you think about the Willette Church of Christ? Oh, we love it, Rob. Rob, we don't know what we'd do without you. Nick, do you know a lot about the Willette Church of Christ? Know this, that you love us. That's all I needed to hear. Nick, would you like to know more about the Willette Church? I said, I sure would. I just so happen to have these little booklets. They're ready. I said, so that's what we do. We promote evangelism in everything we do. Every work of the church is about saving souls. Bible classes, saving souls. I can tell you that Bible classes become strategic when we do this. I mean, everything we do, no matter what activity it is, how can we reach? We're going to pass out waters in a marathon. How can we reach souls? I'm not here to shut down programs. I'm not here to belittle any activity the church does. I'm just here to say, let's make sure everything we do is about reaching the lost. Everything we do. And if that happens, you get this. Her name is Kim. She called up to the church. She said, Deb Rye speaking. How can I help you? My name's Kim Bullock, and I just moved here. My family, I'm by myself, and I got this little publication called House to House, Heart to Heart. Yes. It says that you offer free community services. Yes. She says, I need some of those services. She says, I'm really hurting. And Miss Deb says, well, Miss Kim, we offer those services every Sunday morning at 9:30. We'll look forward to seeing you. Oh, I just can't get there at 9:30. Don't worry, Miss Kim, we do it again at 10:30. I just can't get there at 10:30. Miss Kim, we do it again at 6 o'clock. Oh, I just can't get there. Sundays are not good for me. Miss Kim, we do it again on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and we're looking, I just can't get there. Miss Kim, do you have a car? Well, that's one of my problems. Miss Kim, we'll pick you up 9 o'clock Sunday morning. Oh, you pick me up? Yeah, okay, good. I'll look forward to meeting you. Sure enough, Miss Deb Rice goes out, picks up Kim, brings her back to the Jacksonville church building. There she is. Miss Deb says, Rob, this is Miss Kim. I said, I got it, Deb. Hey, Kim, how you doing? I'm Rob, my wife, Nicole. Would you like to sit with us this morning? It's robotic. What I'm saying is I have a model. I keep following it. I just keep, because it works. What do you think happened when we were finished with Kim? We offered her help. I remember walking into her apartment. She had mold all over the ceiling. I said, Kim, did you just get this apartment? Yeah. How long have you been here? About a month. Are you sick? Every day. Kim, you have mold. Kim, who owns these apartments? The housing authority. I said, we need to make a phone call. And it was amazing how quickly they moved. And they had one just about ready for her, a brand new one. Now, Rob, I can't thank you enough for that. But Rob, Rob, I can't move. You know I can't do that. I said, Kim, I said, the church loves you. We'll move you. As the men were moving her stuff in, Nicole and I are sitting on the couch with her. The ladies were putting up the pantry items. She's got a bad back. And I said, Kim, I said, what do you think about the Jacksonville Church of Christ? Oh, I love this church. So nice. They're so friendly. I said, Miss Kim, do you know a lot about the Jacksonville? No, I don't really know a lot, Miss Kim. Would you like to know more about the Jacksonville? Oh, I sure would. I just so happen to have. Oh, these little booklets. What do you think happened when we finished? If you want to meet Kim Bullock, she's at Jacksonville Church of Christ. Number five, which is the most important part of this entire process, is you've got to produce contacts. I am going to talk about this and talk about this and talk about this, because this is when evangelism either succeeds or it fails. If you don't achieve success here, you don't achieve success anywhere. Now, I have saved and held back my big hitter. I got a big hitter. I'm holding it back for your elders. I'm going to talk to them about it. But I will give you some of the 21 different contact creators we use in our school. We have at this point actually 22 now. One thing I want to make sure that you understand is I did not originate all of these. I love good ideas. And when a church like T.J. Gifford calls me from Florida, Lake City, and says, hey, Rob, we've got a great idea. It's working. I said, that's great, TJ. I said, may I try it? He said, yes. I tried it and it worked. We had a baptism within 1 month of doing it. I said, TJ, can I add it to the school? I'll give you credit. He says, I need no credit. That's how our school grows, from you. I can't wait to see what Huntsville teaches us. I love to learn from successful churches. Here's one thing I know works when you do it right. The problem is that most churches, they don't know quite how to do it. They send things out, but they're not quite, they're missing some key elements. And I didn't realize this because I've used this for years. In fact, that's how I was introduced to Matt Wallen. How many of you know Matt and Alan Webster? They're great guys. They would call me and they said, hey, Rob, have you had any more baptisms? I said, yeah, we just had one from house to house. When we were at Jacksonville, we had a dozen baptisms just from this. That's how I made contact with people. It was incredible. But they have a very unique way of doing it. It's more than just a mailer. I'm sitting at a congregation in Cleveland, Tennessee, and I'm with elders. And it's very intimidating. We're in a conference room, and there's a lot of elders, and just me. And I'm sitting in the middle, and they said, Rob, well, tell us, this is when I first started. I didn't have what I have today. Rob, what do you suggest we do? I said, well, house to house, heart to heart, brethren. And one elder interrupted me. He said, now, Rob, we tried that. It doesn't work. What's your next one? That's the first time I've ever heard that. Brethren, I've been preaching for 20 years. It always works. So I stopped. I said, brethren, can you explain to me? What do you mean by that? Well, we tried it for a year or so. And we moved it around all these different places. Never got anybody that showed up. We decided our money would be vested somewhere better in another area. So what do you got next? Well, here's what I learned. You're not doing it right. So here's what the numbers tell us. The numbers tell us you must saturate an area at least every other month, if not every month. You must saturate it at the very least, for 2 years. At Jacksonville, they were sending 21,000 issues every month. We had 12 contacts when I was there. We baptized all 12. When I was at Willette, some of the Royals, that was from house to house, heart to heart. I could just start naming people. That's how I found them. And someone said, well, you know, it doesn't work in cities. It absolutely does. But you've got to do it right. One of the things we got to understand is the contact information on house to house needs to reach a human being. It doesn't need to reach an answering service. It needs to reach someone on a live telephone, which means that means an elder or a preacher or someone may have to put their phone number on there, because we don't want you reaching a answering service, because they're not going to call back. When they need you, they need you. That was the first things we suggest. Actually, there's a lot of things we suggest. Here's another thing we suggest. When it says services offered to the community, I know there are services you can offer to a community that will get you hits. Every business knows that. There are certain buzzwords they can use, and they get hits every time they use them. I know the buzzwords. You ready? I'll give you just one of them, because in our curriculum, we have all this spelled out. Ready for one of them? Free transportation to the building. Because there are people that live around our churches, older people that don't drive at night, some that don't have functioning cars, and they just need someone to give them a ride. I can't tell you how many times someone would call and say, hey, we'd like to come to church, and I notice you offer free transportation. Sure. So I've got a lot of these I could tell you about, but here, what happens when you advertise? Well, anyone who owns a business knows what happens. You advertise, you promote. Someone says, Rob, advertising doesn't work. Really? Walmart doesn't know that. All right? My son doesn't know that. I mean, he's 15 years old and he figures, I got to advertise. He said, Dad, I need law. I said, advertise. I said, you got to tell people what you're doing and what you're offering. They got to know you're there. If they don't know you're here, they're not coming. You got to use everything at your disposal to make sure the community knows we're here and we want you to come here. Alan Webster's preaching. I'm sitting in the front here. And it's a visitor. I think it's a visitor. Not always sure, because I'm not there a lot. So Alan finishes his sermon. He walks back. I get right behind him. We walk back together. Alan, who's that? Visitor. Yes. So I walk in behind her. Now, there's lots of entrances and exits like you guys have. So I get right in behind her, sit down, closing prayer. She stands up. She looks back. Hey, are you visiting this morning? I am. Hey, my name's Rob. My wife, Nicole. I said, glad you're here. Are you from the community? I am. I just live down the road. I said, well, really glad you can. I said, can I ask what you thought of our service this morning? She said, you know, I like it. I said, why? She says, that preacher, Alan? I said, yes, ma'am. Boy, he loves the Bible. I said, yes, Alan loves the Bible. Lots of scripture. And I said, yes, he likes to quote the scripture. And yes, ma'am. I said, well, you by yourself? Well, yes. No. Well, my husband got a little ill, so I took him home. He was going to come with me. And I said, well, man, I'd love to meet your husband. I said, she says, you know what? I want to bring him back. Do you guys have an evening service? I said, we actually do. Glad we weren't closed. I'm going to digress. I'm going to do this very carefully. Brethren, there seems to be a habit of our churches shutting down worship services, no longer offering a second service. You will not become more spiritual by closing down your worship services. You will not reach out to more people by closing out your worship services. I don't know where we've gotten this idea that we become more spiritual by worshiping less. I don't know where that's come from, but needs to stop. If at anything, as things get worse, maybe we need to worship more, not less. I said, yes, ma'am, we have an evening worship service. We'd love for you to come. And she says, yeah. She says, I'm going to bring my husband if he's feeling. I said, great, I'll be looking for him. Sure enough, they actually came back. Nicole and I got right in there, and we're getting to talk to him, you know. And I said, hey, Ellen, Perry's his name. Perry, I said, do you guys like to eat? Oh, yeah. I said, so do we. I said, Perry, what's your favorite restaurant? He says, Athena's. Ooh, Athena's. Perry, Ellen, our treat will take you to Athena's. Really? Wow. Rob, if I'm going to Athena's, I really want to eat. I said, yeah, me too. He said, Rob, I'm a little queasy tonight. Hey, could we take a rain check to Tuesday? I'll probably be feeling. I said, yeah, absolutely. So we walk into Athena's. It's a Tuesday evening. We walk into the restaurant. We sit down around the table. I could care less about the lasagna. I have one mission. And I sit around the table, and I'm going to probe. I'm probing. I want intel. Hey, Perry, I said, what do you enjoy doing? He says, well, I do a little farming. He said, but you know, I like to watch sports. I said, I said, what do you like NFL football? No, don't watch that anymore. Disrespectful. I said, me too, I don't watch. It's called 1 Corinthians 9. I become all things to all men that some might be saved. I really don't care. Okay, I'll watch it or I won't watch it. Perry, like basketball? No, a bunch of thugs. I said, me too, thugs. And so I said, Perry, well, what do you like to do? He says, man, go Alabama. Go Alabama. If I got to like Alabama football to get a Bible study, so be it, brethren. I don't care. Whatever I've got to do. I said, you know, you got a pretty good coach in Nick Saban. Yeah, we do, Rob. And a boy, go Nick Saban. And, you know, we talk about Nick Saban and the statue and all the records. And, you know, and I have to sit there and listen. And you know, I know he's won a lot of games and he's good. And then at the end, I said, Perry, I'm so sorry. He said, why? I said, you're not going to be in the championship game. Oh, Rob, it's so bad. I know. It's hard, Rob, on us. I said, I know, Perry. I said, you know what? I said, tomorrow is the championship game. He said, yeah. I said, we just so happened to be having a football party. What was that? That was my wife kicking me under the table because she did not know about this party. And so I said, yes, we're having a party and we'd like you to come. He looks at his wife and this is what he said. Honey, can we go to the Whitakers for the party? He looks back at his wife. I guess we could go. Nicole, can I bring something? She goes, yes. She's not very happy right now. And so we got out to the car, and she knows the routine. I cannot do the Bible study if I don't get him in my house. All I want to do is one thing. I get him to the house. We watch the first half. It's a blowout. I said, Perry, this isn't a good game. He said, no. I said, Perry, got to ask a question. He said, well, what? I said, well, why Jacksonville? Why'd you come here? I mean, why did you come to this church? I mean, there's a dozen churches in Jacksonville. I'm just curious. I'd like to know why. He said, well, 21 years ago, Rob, you guys started sending this magazine called House to House, Heart to Heart. He said, I read it every time we get it. It's always about the Bible. Rob, our church doesn't follow the Bible anymore. He said, they do not believe in marriage. He said, and we're looking for a church that does, and we know Jacksonville Church of Christ does. I said, Perry, what do you know about the Jacksonville Church of Christ? He said, really not a lot. I said, would you like to know more about the Jacksonville Church of Christ? He said, I would. I said, I just so happen to have very good. And what do you think happened when we finished? If you want to meet Perry, just come to the Jacksonville Church of Christ and Ellen and him will be there. You need to advertise. You need to promote your events. And you need to make sure that people know that you're there and you're offering things they need. I've got a lot of ideas I can give you. One congregation right now is doing something that's really working well. They're offering the community biblical guidance for troubled souls. And they advertise it on House to House. This date, they're doing anxiety. The next date's depression. The next date is addiction. The next date is parenting. The next date is, and they do it, you know, like on a Tuesday night, free book for everyone who comes. We're willing to help. You got to advertise. You got to promote your events. And Brother Glenn does a tremendous job with parenting. You got to promote your events. Let people know, hey, we've got something. We can help you if you'll come to the building on such and such night. This is advertising. You make sure people know what you're doing. And so you offer free things like tracks and posters and DVDs and all sorts of things. Because when you do, someone will call or write and say, hey, we want that. Rob? Yes. It's Deb Rice. Hey, Deb. Rob, I've just got a contact. Yes. Rob, we have someone asking for marriage materials. I said, great. I said, Rob, we used to mail it, but the elders said we're no longer allowed to do that. I said, well, I said, I'm sorry, but we would like you not to mail it. Well, what am I supposed to do? I said, well, put it in my box and I'll hand deliver it. Are you sure you want to do that? I said, I'm 100% sure, Deb. Nicole and I went up to the, when we got home, we went to the church building, grabbed the material, went over to meet her. Her name is Brenda. And there are some rules that I use when I'm invited to someone's house. And they're ethics. And since I'm with men, I'm going to give them to you. I strongly encourage you to listen carefully. You do not go to the door alone. Never. Do not go to the door alone. Number two. Take a woman with you, preferably your wife. But if you're not married, call an elder's wife, call a preacher's wife, call somebody. Don't go without a woman or a teenager. Because people love to open the doors for kids. They just do. He's selling cookies. You know, we're going to open the door. So we've learned some things about door knocking. So there's just a few things that we've now. So again, my wife, she's always my partner. We knock on the door. I'm kind of moving out of the way. I want her to have a clear vision of Nicole because they won't open the door for me. Then they open the door. Hello, my name is Rob, my wife Nicole, and we're from house to house. You asked for some marriage material? Yes. I said, ma'am, have you just got married? I have. Well, Brenda, how long ago? Well, about a month. I said, well, I'm so glad you reached out to us. Well, I want some Bible material on this stuff, and I'm a Bible believer. I said, well, good. I said, we've got some very good material on marriage and parenting and all these subjects. And so we're just talking about it. Brenda, how long have you been here? Oh, about a month. We moved from the Oxford area. I said, what do you do for a living? Well, I sit with, you know, people who are elderly. My husband, he works for a lawn care company over here, and his name is Daniel. I said, wonderful. She said, sir, I got a question for you. I said, yes. She said, do you know anything about the Bible? I said, just a little bit. And she said, good, because my husband knows nothing about the Bible. Daniel, get in here. Daniel, I don't know what this man does all day. Every time he comes home from work, he gets on the couch and he goes to sleep. Daniel, we have guests. Get up. So she grabs Daniel. Daniel is 6'4". She brings Daniel to the door. And Daniel's looking down at me. And I'm looking up at Daniel. And Daniel, this is what she says. She says, Daniel, these people are going to teach you the Bible. I don't think this will ever happen again in my life, but God answers prayers. And I said, ma'am, when would you like to begin? She says, what about tomorrow? I said, my wife will bring chocolate chip cookies, always eat. And I get to eat cookies. So sure enough, we sat around the table and we started. They actually obeyed the gospel on a Sunday. I had them come a little early to finish the study. I kind of wanted them to walk forward if it was possible. I wanted Jacksonville to believe. Sometimes our members just need to believe. It works. We baptized 17. That's Daniel and Brenda. Then there's Winford, brother. And then there's Geneva. And, oh, that's Geneva. I remember her. We baptized two of the daughters. Got one more. It's amazing what happens when you promote your church. You got to make a target list. I want to teach you how to do this. Everybody needs a target list. Who's on your list? Who's on your list? Who's on your list? Who do you want to reach? You know, I was told by Todd Clippard once, He said, Rob, you'll never hit a target you don't aim at. He said, would you and Jared like to go hunting? I said, sure. He said, I'll guarantee you'll see targets. I said, I'm coming, Todd. So I got out to his, he got a big old place, and he put Jared and I about 800 yards apart on the corners. He said, Rob, it's not a question if you'll see a deer. The question is when you'll see the deer. I said, I love it. He said, you'll see him. I don't know if there'll be enough time to shoot. It's going to be real close. I said, okay. So I climbed up in the stand. Jared climbs up in the stand. We're out there looking, and, you know, the sun is set, and I'm 30 minutes, you know, and I'm looking out. I said, oh, come on, come on. All of a sudden, it's a herd of deer. Not one, a herd of deer come out. My eyes get big. I said, wow. I bring my rifle up, and I'm looking, and I've lost my light. Come on, scope, just a little bit more, and all I can see are brown blobs. Oh. Do you shoot? Hunters, do you shoot? No. You'll never hit a target you don't aim at. Who's on your target list, brother? We got to make a list. I'm going to help you do that. In fact, if you don't participate, you'll feel very awkward, because we're going to do it congregationally. We got to learn how to knock a door. Now, there are a lot of communities in this area that you cannot knock doors, but I found some this morning that you can. I actually got up early and went driving. And so most communities you can't, I get that, but there are a few folks out here that still can be reached. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time because I know that this is limited in this area, but I'll tell you this. How about if you knew before you went out, if this is what you knew, you're going to get a 30% success rate when you do it? How motivated would you be? When I went to the Carnes Church of Christ, one of the elders stepped me aside. He said, now, Rob, we're a very upper middle class area. I said, yes, sir. He said, I know you plan to do some door knocking. Don't be disappointed if it doesn't work. 2 days later, that same elder came to me. Rob, can you stop door knocking? I said, why? He said, we have too many contacts. So then we went to Rome, Georgia. We did it again. Then we went to Granbury Street, just outside of Dallas, very upscale area. Then we went over to Cary, North Carolina, where Larry Fife is located. Good man. And then we went over, and we just kept doing it. And guess one thing that Austin Fowler, who now works for us, he's part of our work. Austin Fowler, he said, Rob, I made a chart. He said, you'll be amazed at what I see. I said, what is it? He said, we always get a 25 to 35% success rate every single time. I think I know why. Because we actually train people how to do it, and we give them a tool to use to do it. We never send people. Here's what you never do. Would you like to have a Bible study? No, I don't. Slam the door. I'd slam the door too. We do not say, would you like to come to church? No, they don't know you. Why would they come to church? But I have learned what does work. And I want to teach you that. Because it's amazing when you get those results. New movers, you guys have quite a few families moving in to this area. We know their names and addresses. And so when someone moves into your community, guess what you can do? You can welcome them. And if it's a closed community, gated, we use gift cards. If it's not a gated community, you're not soliciting in this way because they're your neighbor. We're going to select members that live next to them. And all you're going to do is go over and say, hey, my name is Glenn Holmes and my wife, and we'd like to welcome you. I've lived here for 30 years, you know, and I know you just moved in. We'd like to say welcome to the community. I'm Fred or Sam or Pam, and what we've learned is that this is a very effective tool when used properly. People are most likely to change churches when they move. It's true. Lifeway just did a study. I received it. Alan sent it to me, and it confirmed it for the second time. It's the second time I've seen a study, and the study says when people move from one city to another city, they're more likely to change churches. Now, when I was growing up, Glenn, when you were growing up, that was not the case. If you're a Methodist, you're going to go to a Methodist church. That's not the case today. They don't really care where they go to church. Why not West Huntsville? Why not come here? Those days are over. It doesn't matter to me what denomination they were in the last town. I want them to visit the Church of Christ. Cards. We're going to send lots of cards, compassion cards. I mean, very organized, very strategic. We're going to know exactly how many cards are sent out every day to how many people to how long. We're going to keep an Excel spreadsheet. I mean, it's very organized. What happens when you send that much compassion to people? Rob, is that biblical? Well, let's open our Bibles and find out. Go to the book of Jude. We'll just ask Jude. Jude, is it biblical to send cards? Let's find out. Jude 22. Let's read that together. On some, have compassion, making a difference. If you want to reach the lost, show them compassion. Make a difference. Let's make a difference in the life of people. Now, some you'll have to save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. I get it. And we're going to have to do that with some of them. That's verse 23. But some, what they need is compassion. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Against such, there's no law. Who makes a law? Don't show compassion. Rob, what if somebody gets upset because we send them cards? I would submit they were unreachable to begin with. You've done no harm. There are more baptisms associated with this tool in our school than anything else we do. But you have to do it right. You got to be very strategic in how you do it. And no, we're not going to send the cards to Brother Glenn. Sorry, Glenn, you're not going to get them. And I think Glenn will be at church regardless if he gets cards or not. But we are going to send cards to that person that lives down the road that's got cancer, who just lost their father or mother, or lost their job, or suffering with anxiety, or maybe is having troubles in their life. We're going to send them cards. Whatever the issue is, life moments. Her name is Bettina. Wow, what a story. And I wish I had time to tell the whole thing. One of our Jacksonville conversions. And let me cut it in half. Nicole and I walk into her apartment. Homer Smith, I think at the time, he was still with us. And he'd give me the contact. The church, he said, now, Rob, while you were gone, we did what we were supposed to do. We sent the cards. I said, good. And he said, all right, Rob, she's ready. So we walked into the house. She welcomed us. I said, Jacksonville, oh, that church that sends the cards. Come on in. You know, we sat down all over the carpet, our cards everywhere. I said, Bettina, how many cards do you have? 57, Rob. She counts them. She loves them. Look at her. If that's not making a difference, I don't know what is. How hard do you think it was to get a Bible study with her? Bettina, what do you think about the Jacksonville Church of Christ? Oh, I love it. Really loving church. Bettina, do you know a lot about the Jacksonville Church? I don't know anything at all. Bettina, would you like to know more about that? Oh, yes. I just so happen to have these little booklets. I've got to finish this one. After the baptism, Bettina said, hey, Rob, she said, this one, I'll let you know, I've been to a Church of Christ before. I said, you have? Yeah, well, I was a Baptist, though, not anymore. So, well, tell me about that. She said, well, she says, let's see. She says, Rob, in the last town I lived, she says, I didn't have a way to drive, and I live right across the street from the Church of Christ, so I just walked over. I said, really? How often? Oh, every Sunday. Every Sunday. What church was it? Oh, Hatchie. I said, oh, I don't know anything about this church. I said, okay, Bettina, I said, did you enjoy? Oh, yeah, nice people. How often did you go? Every Sunday. Oh, every Sunday. Bettina, how long did you live there? Oh, about 7 years. 7 years. Sunday. Bettina, in that 7-year period, did anyone, like, say, would you like to have a Bible study? Huh? A Bible study. Did anybody? Oh, no, we didn't do any of that. 7 years. She sits in the pews for 7 years. Maybe some churches need to close their doors. Maybe that would be the best thing for them. You got to learn how to greet visitors, and I've got a lot of training to do here. Let me just do one thing. What's the number one thing a visitor wants when they walk in that door? What's the number one thing they want? Well, I did not know until Alan Webster taught me. He said, Rob, Pew Research did a study, and they asked the question, what's the number one thing that a visitor wants when they walk in the door? I said, to be greeted. He said, no. I said, to be loved. No. Where are the bathrooms? No. I have not a clue. To sit down. Well, come to think of it, I visit churches sometimes. I don't know, Glenn, have you and Cindy ever been on the road? You can't make it back. You got to stop it, you know, and you just walk into the strain. And it's kind of awkward, you know. You don't know, really know what to, but the one thing you want to do is just take a seat. Now you feel better. Okay, I'm sitting down. And that one piece of information I just taught you will change everything you do with visitors. We're going to build an entire strategy around that one piece of information. And it works very effectively. They're the number one baptized category of all the contacts. You'll baptize them at the highest rate. How many visitors come to West Huntsville every Sunday? Lots. I'm sure Glenn has preached about hospitality and be nice to visit. I know he has. But you got to have a strategic plan and people selected and trained on what to do when they walk in those doors. Door greeters, pew greeters. Pew greeters have a very specialized job. They are the Navy SEALs of the church. And they're going to be trained with the vigor of training almost a Navy SEAL. We won't put your head underwater. It's amazing what happens. This is Keith. You know Keith, Brother Keith. He's a fine man, good preacher. He's now the preacher of Jacksonville. And I was sitting there, and Keith doesn't know a visitor from a member. And I said, hey, Keith, I said, that's a visiting family. He looked at me, and this is what he told me. He said, Rob, I've been through your school twice. I know what to do. I said, go for it. I watched him. He walks up, and he said, Rob, we're taking him to Baja right after church. I said, yes. He takes this picture at Baja. This is his first Sunday. He takes this picture at Baja. He says, Rob, Bible study set up Monday night. I said, Keith, you move fast. Next picture, Bible study. Next picture, baptisms. It works well, brethren. I got to teach you how to do this. All right, so we could move on. I've run out of time, and it's okay, but I've given you a taste of what this looks like. But you got to have a strategic vision, a plan of what to do as people come in, the community outreach. We baptized a whole family, and notice there's no hot dogs. Hot dogs aren't going to bring people. But I tell you, if you do a shrimp boil and gators and corn on the cob, you'll bring 200 community members into your church building, 200. They won't come for hot dogs, but they'll come for that. We baptized an entire family doing that. Your church has got to have everything revolving around evangelism. It's got to be the focal point. It's very intentional. It's very important. Gentlemen, thank you for your time. You've committed yourself to seeking and saving the lost. I love you. I'm looking forward to tomorrow morning. Those who were not here, we're going to pour the fire on. I can't wait. And we're going to talk about evangelism, review those seven principles, and it's going to be a good day. And I can't wait to see what West Huntsville. Glenn said, Rob, we're going to be the best church you've been to. I believe that. Tagalima Essene told me that at Honolulu. He was right. Keno Shrum then told me that about Cody. He was right. When preachers tell me that, they normally have a good pulse of the church. I really believe that much good is going to happen right here. Thank you for your time and attention.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.